It's actually a lot more about seeing to believe. So through mirror neurons and psychology, showing your subconscious what's possible through seeing to believe.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. So I boarded my flight this morning at 7 a.m. and the bean thing is going really well. I am flabbergasted by how many of you have reshared and loved the episode with Karen, and I can't agree more because, again, I do so far see so many benefits. Just again this last week, I realized, so about 2 years ago, I noticed that I had an egg allergy, or I noticed that I would feel really weird after eating eggs. I think I just ate way too many of them, or Karen has a lot of theories of how allergies come about. But then I started to work with my kinesiologist, who then tested me, and it was for sure a thing. My eyes would get red. I'd get very fatigued after, very tired. My stomach would feel kind of weird. And I just so happened all there was to eat at my dad's house on Christmas morning was this really nice frittata he made. I mean, it was really nice keto frittata. And I had to take a bite, and it was one day that I could afford if I had, you know, a crash of sorts. And I was totally fine after it. So then I tested it again when we were up on holiday in Alima, perfectly fine. So I've been able to eat eggs again. It's cured my egg allergy. And I realized that I was having this issue in my right elbow that's attached to, I don't know, my muscles and all that stuff, but attached to my right shoulder, attached to my left hip from this rear-ending accident that I got in many years back, which is actually how I manifested my last car. There's a whole blog post on that. We can link it below. I think it's one of my completed lists, but it's still an issue. And I had worked with this really crazy healer in Hawaii that like got Julia Roberts pregnant and all these things, and nothing worked. And that's gone now. I mean, that was months ago. I worked with the healers and stuff. And I do believe it's because maybe something to do with inflammation. I don't know, but things are fucking healing in my body. And not to mention that, I don't know if I shared this in the intro of Karen's, but a really cool indicator, and we are going to have Elisa Vitti on the podcast very soon. So you're going to hear all about cycles and what they represent and the color of the blood and the texture and all that stuff. But it's bright red now, which I haven't ever had in my life. So it does show that my hormones are really shifting. So thank you for all of the sharing and getting it to people who really need that. And certainly I'm so happy how many of you are going over to Unique Hammond to work with her directly, as Karen's too booked up right now to work. I've seen in the Facebook group a lot of misinformation and confusion going on. So if you really are struggling with something, I highly, highly recommend that you please speak to Unique, work with her directly, or at least, you know, download the seminars with Karen under her topics page. Don't just do it willy-nilly or you're not going to really see results. Yeah, that's my two cents on that. I had to give you an update. I keep seeing so many improvements, so I'll keep sharing along the way. And I hope that you're experiencing them as well if you're doing this work. Another big thank you I really want to send out. This year for the holidays, I'm a huge collector of jewelry. I've always been really into expressing my authentic projection through accessories. I think that's actually the way that we, this isn't sponsored, P.S. It sounds like I'm gearing up to give you a sponsored thing, and it's not at all. But I ended up showing up to the Forest House for the holidays, which I saw that quite a few of you booked over the special that we were offering during the holiday season. So I hope you enjoy. I'm really, really jealous because I actually don't get back up there until the end of the month. And we're going to actually have a crew come up there. Some of the team's coming up there to shoot and do some work. And I'm so lucky that Kristen Dahl, who is a beautiful, incredible herbalist and chef in this community. We've actually known each other for many years. She's agreed to come and private chef for the team while we're up there working, since we'll be nose to the grind and won't be able to focus on any of that. So anyways, back to my story. Oh, and just to let you know too, PS, if you've been thinking about booking, we've just opened the calendar all the way up to December 2020. So the full year's open and the season starts from April to end of October. So certainly those will just start getting booked up by people who are going to Yosemite. Definitely act quicker than later because we've opened it to everybody. So if there's a time you've been thinking about visiting Yosemite, we'll link the calendar below so that you guys get first dibs on it before the general public starts to book it up. But I ended up getting there and I had been going, like I was talking to you guys, through kind of a bluesy magic dark, which is all making a lot more sense now, why I can start to see the percolation of what's supposed to be manifesting, peeking through. Very excited stuff to announce closer to the end of the year. But I get there, and often many of you will send me, totally out of the kindness of your heart, thank you, talismans. Is that how I say that? Talismans? I don't know how to say it correctly. Just to thank me for the work, which it's really you're thanking yourselves because you're doing this work on yourselves. But out of gratitude, it's this beautiful way that you like show a gift of gratitude. And I get to be on the receiving end of them often. And I'm just always blown away because it'll usually be stuff I've been manifesting that I can't find anywhere, or things that I love more than anything that are what you gift me. And an example of that was when I talked about that incredible hand-knit alpaca cardigan that was sent to me, which we'll link below as well. I talked about that in an intro, and that was such a beautiful gift because I had been looking through all of Scotland to find the exact one. And then it was gifted by a member in the pathway just to thank us at TBM for, and myself, for how much the work has impacted their life and their career. And the same thing happened with Alexa De La Cruz, who hand makes jewelry in Mexico City, who is a beautiful energy. And she sent me this incredible ring that's 22 karat gold. And that's like a really big thing that I started calling in last year, because I really do believe that the energy of metal has a projection to it. And I think there's something 18 and above that really draws me to it in the gold realm. And we'll link the ring below that she gifted me. But I opened it 2 days before Yule, and it looks like such a beautiful, dainty Yule ring that will now forever be my Yule ring. And I've been wearing it nonstop. It's so dainty. It's so stunning. And I just want to thank you, because it's certainly something I've been manifesting. I opened it and I went, oh shit, this is incredible. And so on that note, I've actually been on a really big jewelry kick. That's what I was setting up earlier that kind of sounded like a sponsorship, but not at all. So Max proposes to me every single New Year's Eve, because we've been engaged for 4 years, together five now. And year one, that was a really big thing that I was very vocal about early on, because I had been in a relationship where there wasn't a deep commitment at the end that I knew I wanted to commit. And so he proposed to me on January 1st, 2016. And so it's always been sort of our anniversary, because we just can't get our shit together to get married. Gosh, you'll hear in the episode, it's like, who's going to plan a wedding and pay for it, all that stuff. We're like, we'd rather keep buying houses. So he proposes to me and it's so romantic every single New Year's Eve. The second one was in Scotland with this beautiful, huge band I'd been wanting. And then he ended up doing, I love vintage jewelry, and he ended up the third year doing the Trinity bracelet Cartier from the 70s is what he gave me. And this year, I had spotted this ring by Ramsey Condor. I hope I'm saying that correctly. We'll link it below. And I saw it the moment I saw it. I was like, I have to have that. And I just mentioned it to him offsite, and he had it custom made for me. And it's so beautiful, which you guys saw on my Instagram. So that's like another jewelry thing. And then I started to call in this other, like, I've been wanting a big pearl ring for a long time. My grandmother was really into pearls, and I just feel like there's a real frequency of them back to me. They're very regal, and I think there's a real projection of them. Their energy is incredible. And so there's a woman who's a jeweler, and her name's Savannah King, and I happened to scroll across, and so that's another, those were my Christmas gifts. So we'll link those below, but I don't get to do my roundups anymore. So I just wanted to share what I've been really into. Those are the things. It's been a real jewelry kick. So a big thank you to the incredible jewelers out there in the world, the people that are, I mean, also I went out and I bought this piece, my favorite jeweler that exists out there at all. And I think many of you as well in this, you know, algorithm we live in is Kelsey Potter. And I'm a huge collector of her work. It takes a long time to get your hands on it, which I think makes it even more precious because she hand makes them all, and it's recycled gold. And some of her pieces were 18 karat gold, some are 14. And I have quite a few pieces now, but I went out and I bought the Atlas ring for myself. And I do that every year, that I end up getting myself something to thank myself for how hard I worked and accomplishing what I wanted and sacrifices that I went through. It's all, I, you know, at the very first year that I ended up making money, I did that with the Trinity pinky ring. It was a very famous, I think, French poet is who they made that after. It was his pinky ring back in the day. And I was like, I have always wanted this. My grandma had one. I didn't get hers. So I'm going to go gift myself this. And so I do that every year. And I did that with Kelsey. So if you're not familiar with her, I guess this is just a big spotlight towards the jewelers that are making really, really epic handmade jewelry. It's incredible. If you've been looking for cool pieces, check them out. Some are very expensive for many, but I had to like manifest my way into really having them. And I appreciate them so much because I know the work that went into them, how I've had to save for them or space for them. And so they're really the way that I guess people collect art. I tend to collect clothing pieces and jewelry. That's sort of my thing. It feels really regal. So that's what I've been up to. That's what I'm excited about. And I'm just continuing my journey on in London. Like I mentioned last episode that I'm doing Dara. I've always called poor Dara. I always call her Dara because I met her through Jenna initially, who has an English accent. So she calls her Dara. So Dara DuVernay, who's now a great friend, I'm doing her North Node digital workshop linked below. Also doing the chakra workshop that was released by Danny, my astrologer. Everybody knows Danny by now. So I'm working on those and certainly reading through Layla. You guys all loved her episode. I'm sure Delia's Vibrate Higher Daily. So that's what I'm up to. Today's episode is with co-host Jessica Gill and I, and it's so exciting. It's The Explained, our new series. We put out Explained Manifestation 101 a few weeks ago. We ended up creating this for the people who are like, could you just record an episode that kind of explains all of this and why it's not weird, so we can actually send it to people who are interested in our lives, that kind of has it all in one place. So today is the second version of that. And we're actually covering what this podcast was named after. It's called The Expanded Podcast. Today, we're covering expanders. I coined that term right when I started this work and trademarked it. And I wouldn't be surprised if you've weirdly heard it used in your circles or on social media around you. It really has taken off like wildfire. So in this episode, we cover what expanders are, where to find them, and how to utilize them. And if you have been doing this work for a long time, you've been with this brand for a long time, do not tune out because you are going to hear some amazing golden nuggets you've never heard before. So it's equally as valuable to you as the person just stumbling onto this process. And forgive me, because as you guys know, I'm still healing my adrenal fatigue, which makes my brain really fuzzy from the burnout. So I definitely had to drink my lion's mane, which I'll also be having on stage before the speaking engagement by Four Sigmatic. It's the only little herbal thing I've left in my life while I'm on the speaking protocol and only on days that I have to speak. And it really does tremendously help me. In fact, I will down two of them before the speaking night in London so I can keep somewhat of a linear train of thought. So forgive me if I have any stumbles in this, and we will get into it now.
So let's just jump in. So happy 2020.
You
too.
We're
so excited. We're doing another episode of Explained, this time focusing on Expanders, the name of the podcast. How exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important that we do this. We decided internally at TBM that it would be really important to have holistic content, like we did with the DRE challenge last year, where every channel we're talking about the same thing most of the time. And so for this month, we've created the first ever mini workshop within the Pathway 2.0, where it's all about expanders. And expanders in this formula of manifestation, if you're unfamiliar with this formula of manifestation, you'll want to go back and listen to the first Explained episode, 101, Manifestation 101. And within this formula of how to manifest, there's a term called expanders. And it's kind of the more abstract part of this manifestation process. So we thought we would do an Explained episode on it.
So excited. I love how many people I hear around, even like going back home to the East Coast, like are using the term expanders. Like it's really caught on.
It really has. And I coined it. Like that did not exist. We have it trademarked. It's a whole thing. And I see and hear it everywhere, which I think out of everything we've done at TBM, this by far has become wildfire.
It's so awesome. So awesome. So go into details on sort of the definition of expanders. How do you define expanders, and how did you sort of come up with this terminology?
Yeah. So back in the day when I used to try the old, what I call new age rhetoric of manifestation, the think positive, visualize, just have total faith and it'll come model, I did that, and I always say until I was blue in the face, I would visualize my house in Malibu when I was waitressing at the Laugh Factory. I would visualize my series regular role where I'm making $20,000 an episode, but I've never had a guest star role, you know? And so clearly they weren't coming. But what I did start to notice when I dropped all of that and began experimenting with my own way of reading energy and gifts and learning that manifestation is really about walking, it's really about stepping into your worth. And truthfully, if we get into the full umbrella of it, it's about getting back to your truly whole, authentic, worthy self that you were born as, which was totally expanded, by the way, until from the ages of 0 to 14, if we're being generous, 7, based on traditional psychology. We saw modeling from peers, society, family, school, media, and that's kind of what has created our subconscious brain. And therefore, it's created limitations for us. Or if we, within whatever modeling we grew up in, we never witnessed what we're actually calling into our lives, we don't actually on a subconscious level believe that it's possible for us. So rather than visualizing in the conscious state, you know, it's like feeling how my Malibu home feels when I'm waitressing and smelling what it smells like and starting to buy little things that I would put into it. Instead of all of that that doesn't work and, you know, sort of failed me, it's actually a lot more about seeing to believe. So through mirror neurons and psychology, showing your subconscious what's possible through seeing to believe. So therefore, it's us going out into our everyday lives. There's multiple ways you can find expanders, which we'll get into, but it's basically checking off these few things. So anybody who's had trouble with what an expander looks like, they must encompass this checklist. One, they've been in the exact place that you're in now. So whether it's struggling or lack or limit or not having what you want, they've been there before. They've gone on to become successful in, own or embody what you're calling in. Their success track feels believable and obtainable to you. And they give you an aha moment. So there's this moment that we all get when we've actually been expanded. It's how we can actually measure if we are finally expanded on a subconscious level, since it's not a conscious thinking thing. There will be this moment, and it kind of sounds egotistical, but it's not really. It's actually how we are as humans. There will be this moment when we have an aha moment where we go, oh my gosh, if they have that or they accomplish that, I'm kind of better. I can have it too, or I can be successful in that too, or I can own that too. That's when we know we've been expanded. So that's the checklist for expanders.
I love that. I think that's so, so helpful, and just like keeping it really clear about what you can have expanders on, because people will kind of dig into it more. But having, you know, someone that they're really jealous of, what that dynamic is and how that's different, or someone they're envious of, like how that's different, and what expander is best suited for you to open up your subconscious belief in order to call in the very next thing. Let's dive into those kind of other subsets of expanders, right? So we also have within that expander category, like fragment expanders. So how would you describe like how people can utilize a fragment expander?
So just to really umbrella this, for let's say for the listener that's been a longtime member of the pathway, or they follow this brand for a while and they're like, oh, I know what expanders are by now, but how do I find them? I actually just want to open up the window curtains to you a little bit more. And I kind of glossed over this in the beginning, but I really, really want this to sink in while you're listening. Expanders are just us getting back to our authentic selves, the selves that we were born with. We were infinite. Anything was possible. It's like that purity self before we had any programming put onto us, which I'll call limitless. We were limitless when we were born. We were a blank slate. I personally don't let the limitations of things like karma or whatever, get to me, past life this, that's why I can't have that. I really do feel we can unblock through anything and have truly anything. So expanders are just our tool to get back to that limitless self, that authentic, totally worthy, limitless self we were born as. And expanders just like kick the unblocking to another degree for us. So what we talked about in Manifestation 101 is, rather than thinking positive, it's all about unblocking our subconscious. So that programming we picked up that tells us what's not possible, we have to go through there in a subconscious state and remove it, which you can go back to 101 to reference if this is new information to you. So expanders, they're our tool that out unblock our subconscious limits we've been fed, or they show us the possibility we've never seen subconsciously. So truthfully, almost everything in our life can be an expander. And one thing I can hear people ask us questions about, they'll say, well, what if I'm seeing things I don't like or I don't want in my life? You know, is that expanding me in the wrong direction? This manifestation process is just a little bit more concrete than that. It's so steeped in psychology and, you know, like just very basic psychology and neuroscience research that you don't have to worry about those weird superstitions. Yes, if you're surrounded by a situation at all times that's just reinforcing lack and lack and lack to you, not a good situation. It has nothing to do with spirituality. Get out of it. It's not going to benefit you in any way. Okay. But you know, so I just really want to make that clear for the person that's like, well, what if I watch something bad on TV that is telling me I can't have the thing I want? And it's like, well, A, stop watching that program. You know, if that, don't continue reinforcing it. And B, if you're really concerned about it, go look on a subconscious level through doing what we have. We have the daily reprogramming exercises within the pathway where you can tap into the subconscious and just see, is that really a limiting belief for me? So I just really want people to take that taboo and, I don't know, I call it superstition off your plate. This process isn't about being positive all the time or needing to be expanded all the time whatsoever. We're all about actually feeling your feelings, noticing what triggers you, because it's actually going to show you where you aren't expanded.
Yep.
So getting into the different variety of expanders, I kind of explained the term of what a cohesive expander is and the checklist you need to reach to have an expander. But truthfully, everything is an expander in our life. So another type of term we use a lot is fragment expanders. And what those are, because we kept seeing people get tripped up on, they would find somebody, say they're calling in a relationship and they want trust, loyalty, someone who's chivalrous. Let's just say that's their definition of what their soul desires. And they would find these relationships out in the world, may it be on social media, in person, stories from friends, on TV, and they would only see maybe one element of those things they're calling in. Well, that's a fragment expander. Don't throw it to the wayside. In fact, it's very rare that we find the full picture of an expander. So most of our expanders tend to be fragments. So they either show us one, two, three, maybe 90% of what we want, but leave the 10% out. It's our job. And I would argue, and I can't wait to hear your opinion on this, Jessica, because you do this work. I would argue that my expanders start to just find me. So once I have like one or two fragments, the rest just weirdly start to show up in my life in different ways. Would you say that happens with you?
Yeah, it does. I think when I'm trying to think of the hardest time I've had to find expanders, and like, I think the easiest is places that I'm more unblocked in. So like if I've done a little bit of work, those seem to come in easier and if there's less pressure on it. But I know like when I first moved out to LA and I was like trying to, you know, change sort of career paths a little bit from New York and change production paths, I really, really wanted, you know, this job that was like remote and making tons of money and doing all the things I was doing and whatever. And I needed a little bit more of a reality check at that point. And so looking for people who were more entrepreneurial was like, I want someone who like doesn't depend on a consistent income, can be freelance and make a lot of money, and like looking for those examples. And I felt like it was really hard to find them. And then the more I kind of was like, well, where do I want to, like who are expanders that I look to and I want to end up on the main scale, like in the big picture, looking out to them. So then it was looking out to like, I don't know, like some of the examples I had written down was like the Duplass brothers, who are a production television duo, and looking to them. And I was like, cool, but they aren't in the situation I'm in. Well,
they were with the purple chair or the puffy chair.
Exactly. So then when I went back and started investigating them further and listening to their story and how they got to where they are, I realized they're actually a much better expander for my exact situation, because they were, instead of, you know, getting hired as producers or directors for other stuff, they just started making their own stuff. And I was like, great, I can be expanded by that. I can start making my own stuff. So it's almost like if you're having difficulty finding the very exact step that you're on, look in the, what do you want to have on like the big picture scale? And then they might, if you investigate enough of them, someone's going to have a story that's similar to yours.
I'm going to actually dovetail on that, because that was you brought up such a great point. And then I'll get back into a couple of different varieties of expanders. But I think you brought up such a pivotal point for every listener, especially every member that's engaging with this work. There's levels of expansion based on where you are. So I'll talk about a couple of expanders I have currently. I was just up in Olema, California. I've been feeling for the last year this percolation of wanting the next retreat house. And then it kept getting clear. I watched this one movie. Oh, it was like Sense and Sensibility, or I don't know, Becoming Jane Austen, because I only watch weird shit from all like the premises take place in the 1700s England. There's this one scene where the whole family back in Victorian culture, I think that's what it was, they're all sitting in a meadow side having a picnic together and kind of playing games. And I'm like, that's what I want with my family. I want land. And then I started to have moments where it's like, I know I want it to be an old Victorian farmhouse or an old stone house. And then I was just up in Olema for New Year's Eve and I saw them everywhere. And we spent our first New Year's Eve up there. So we ate at this place, Sir and Star, which is one big, Olema is just this one big old Victorian farm town, essentially. And there's like still the buildings, how they originally were, they're redesigned that way. And finally, I could see that full expansion of what I wanted. And I started to look and I was like, who are my expanders that show me? Because not only do I crave the land and this old house and these old rituals, but I crave just being cozy with my family doing them. And I went, oh my gosh. And I've been following her for years. My expander in that department would be Mimi Thor. She's this French, she was Parisian. You know, she's like has cookbooks and stuff. And her and her family, she has like 10 kids. And I think she has like five, but they ended up moving to this old chateau in the countryside, getting rid of their Parisian life. And they have this vineyard and blah, blah, blah. And I used to look at this back when I was teaching at the preschool and I went, wow, oh my God, that would be amazing. And during that time, I was really my feminine. I had a garden and I was making recipes and I too was like starting my blog, but I looked at her and I went, oh, she's so much greater and bigger than where I am. They must have money to afford this. And they have this life, like I can't live in Europe, all of these belief systems. However, it's so funny to watch my expansion over time because now I look at her and I'm like, oh, I could have everything that she has. You know, I can live in Europe. I've built this company. I've turned this brand into something where I can do all of that. But I, at the time, couldn't. And so what I started to look at were like levels of expanders in life. And when I pull up levels, you know, another two expanders that I have. One is this woman, Julie O'Rourke, who's a friend of ours. Her and Max are in business together. She has this company called Rudy Jude, making kids' clothes, and they live in Maine and kind of have this homesteady life and this cozy experience with their kids. And they're super on par, you know, career-wise, age-wise, where they're at in life. And so that's like a level for somebody who looks at the chateau and Mimi Thor and, you know, these five kids. I think they have another house in Italy now, you know, where they're like, that could never be me. It's about finding people that are really where you're at right now. Sri Mati is another one, even though it's drastically different than what I'm looking for. She's like this really in her feminine, spiritual mom, feels really on par. So I feel like you brought up such a great point. Look at the big picture and then work your way back. Where were they? Or finding somebody on par with where you are right now and the thing that you're calling in, I think is really, really important and useful.
Yeah, I know even like I kind of break it down into sections of like what I'm calling in at the time. So like if I'm working on having a better self body image, let's say, I'm going to call in and look for people who are like confident and in their feminine and in their power, but don't have that model stick thin body because that's just not realistic for me. So I want someone that like is enjoying her, you know, body in whatever shape that may be. So I'm looking towards that. But are they going to be my expander for my relationship? No, not necessarily. They're just going to kind of be that one section that's going to expand me into like embracing my body if it changes shapes and all of that sort of stuff. And then for relationships, I'll look to a different expander that's kind of showing me what's possible for relationships. Celebrities relationship expanders are great, especially if you just boil it down to certain ways you can perceive them. So like I'll look at like Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, and I love that they are both so driven in their career and have so many things going on, but like they have this nuclear family that they're really supportive. They have their kids that they're always doing family things with. Like they share a lot of that stuff on social media. So it's really easy to feel like, oh, okay, me and my partner can still achieve all of our career stuff and have that family balance. So I look to them for expansion in that one section particularly.
And I think you highlighted Fragment so well in that. I think another point worth noting, if you're listening to both Jessica and I, is we've only spoken about so far social media and celebrity expanders. Oh. And that's a big, forgive Barley, that's a big, you know, problem that people say a lot that we'll hear in the brand. They talk about, or they're like, I can't find it on social media, or it's really hard because I don't know inside the real life. And it's really not, though. You know, the closer, again, getting back to that checklist, when you were looking at the Duplass brothers and you actually did your research, you saw that when they were making, for instance, the puffy chair, they were two broke brothers, like had nothing going for them in the film industry, really. They've been where you are now. That's one of the checklists. And then they've gone on to become successful in own or embody what you want. That's two of the checklists. Their success track feels believable and obtainable to you. You went, oh, well, they just made their own work. I too can do mine. And you started your own podcast. Yeah. So really, and then having that aha moment, if they can have it, I can have it too. So if you're following just that, those 4 points in the checklist, you will be expanded. And I just really want to highlight the only things that we've organically mentioned as examples on this so far have been either celebrity or social media. And everybody has access to both of those.
Yeah, I think there are expanders I have in real life. But when I had to really, I remember I'm like looking at the first expander list I made, which was like my full Kismet expander list. Like, I don't know, it's like 35 people long. But the first section I did was in-person friends that had things that represented it. And at first I had sort of a block of like, well, they're not exactly where I want to be. And it's like, that's okay. They have one small piece of what I need in order to get where I want to be. So I'm going to look at that.
Fragment.
Yeah, exactly. And having those people in person, like a friend that bought his first house, you know, and the fact that he was able to afford it and his financial income isn't so drastically different, you know, and seeing that it was possible that he could do that and live in LA and it's a beautiful home, like, I didn't think that that was possible. And does he have the career path or anything else that I want? No, not necessarily. But having that one sector, I was like, well, that's something I want one day. Like I can use that as sort of like my inspiration expander for a home or what I would like the financial abilities to look like.
I love that. Yeah, I think we really just covered. And again, just, you know, encapsulating that most expanders are fragments. So even when you do, like you're saying, find the celebrity or you find it homegrown, I know a lot of people don't have access to metropolis cities. So I love that you look within your perimeter first that's in real life, and then you move your way out. But again, if you don't have access at all within your perimeter, and you work your way into celebrity or social media, whatever form of media, because again, we can access that. You often, it gets so fascinating how you start to work your way back so many months later. And here's one thing I'd love to ask you, Jessica, how many of your friends in LA now either have their own thing going on or are freelance?
Oh my gosh, almost all of them.
There you go. And that's what happened. So that's another great indicator that you've been expanded because you're just attracting a ton of those people around you. The same when I first left, you know, all of my acting stuff and then I taught preschool. After I left that, the only person I knew who was freelance at the time was my boyfriend at the time. And then after, you know, launching my blog, like he really expanded me to show me that I could do that. Now, well, let's even get into a year later in the wellness industry, I had a full community, like a whole new group of friends and everything. And not one person worked for a company or didn't have some version of their own thing going on. And now, of course, when I look at my life, it's even more. So that's another great mirror of expansion. Just know that start with your perimeter, work your way out if you have to into media or in addition to, and then you'll be baffled so many months later to a year later that most of the people around you or in your life will reflect that thing you were trying to expand in. You'll have attracted them. And that's another checklist to know that you're expanded in that because it's all around you.
That's so, I never even put that together. Like, look, I'm like, wow, yeah, like those different sectors that I was like looking really, really hard for that freelance person when I moved here like 4 years ago, now my entire network is all doing that sort of work. So that's crazy. I didn't even realize.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's, I love
that. You know, you're expanded. Another little, you know, sector of expansion that's worth talking about are reality expanders. And this is one that I kind of coined this year. And we can give some examples of that. But you know, one example of this that I remember really early on with acting, when I, you know, when you pine for this thing for so long and you're chasing it and working hard at it, I had this moment when I was really ready to start quitting. It was percolating. I had this moment where I looked around and most of my friends in the industry that were women, from the ages of 23 at the time to 35 were starting to get plastic surgery in order to work. And I'm not against plastic surgery. I mean, I'm for people expressing themselves any way that they would like. I do ask that people do the deeper work and that they don't get the plastic surgery, like the women in my family who have done it as a band-aid to not address the deeper issues that make them feel like they need it to be loved. But if you're doing it to enhance your life or, you know, really express yourself, that's beautiful. If there isn't a deeper insecurity beneath it, because I always encourage everybody to unblock for anything. But they were having to get plastic surgery, not from a worthy place, from a place of lack, that if they didn't get it to be ageless or to be the hot chick or to be X, Y, and Z, they wouldn't work. That was their mentality and what was being fed to them and reinforced over and over again in the industry. And that was like a reality expander moment where I went, that's not going to be my path. Maybe this isn't what it's cut out to be. And it helps what the reality expander is so beautiful doing is it helps you become, what would be the term, more deserving, because you stop the dog paddling and you let go. So it really, another example of this would be, I was at the retreat house earlier this year and I shared it on an intro of a podcast, but I had quite a few of my friends come over with their kids and they were all under five and they were at the house. And it was just such an exhausting, overwhelming experience for me. Nothing to do with them or their kids. Everybody's wonderful, but it was just, I'm a sensitive person and I'm so used to so much alone time and just self-care that I got sick. I caught a cold by the end. It was so exhausting. And I had this moment where, you know, I've been trying to get pregnant, as everybody knows, for 3 years. And I went, oh, it took that pining away. I went, oh, maybe this is why it hasn't happened for me. Or this is why I don't have to chase after that anymore. My life is actually really good where it is. So reality expanders can be really beautiful and really empowering to take that little dog paddling, pining after, when people are still in the magic dark where they're still chasing, it takes the chase away and gets you back. It gets you further deeper into faith and surrender and trusting and in your worth.
Totally. Yeah. I had a similar experience with so many friends getting married and like thinking sort of that was something I wanted, but in a certain timeline because of societal pressure and all of those things. But then watching literally like so many of my friends from childhood through college get married and attend their weddings and see really the process firsthand of like what it entails for marriage. I love the commitment aspect and the love aspect, but the idea of planning a wedding was it was just like, I love the entity of marriage. I think it's beautiful, but this point in my life, I know that's not what I want to be doing and how I want to be spending my time right now. You know, like that just seems like so much work and such a time commitment that I am so okay pushing back whatever false timeline I had in my head, because I know in my core essence that like sitting down and planning a wedding is just not what I want to desire to do at this time frame.
I'm right there with you. And, you know, super supportive of the people that have dreamt about this forever and it lights them up. But I would argue that's 90% of the reason why we haven't gotten married is we're like, who the fuck is going to plan a wedding and spend money on it and do all of that when it's really not for us? It's for other people, you know? And so I'm right there with you. I love that reality. And I've actually had a very similar aha moment at many weddings where you just laid it out perfectly. So that's a very good example of that. And another expander, which, you know, we talk about this and we try to educate on it, and certainly members know about this, but the moment we feel envy, there's a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy, we're worried we'll lose something that we have. So it's when our partner's talking to somebody, and we grew up with abandonment, childhood trauma. We see our partner talking to somebody else and we get jealous. We're afraid we'll lose them to that person. That's jealousy. Envy is actually when we recognize something we desire that somebody else has and we want it. We feel that tinge, that green of envy. You know, we wanted that or we want that and they have it. Well, the beautiful thing about when we feel that trigger, we're actually witnessing an expander. That, you know, that desire to have something that we want, us witnessing it and this other person is actually showing us that it's possible. So if we could reframe that energy when we're feeling it, like, of course, feel your feelings fully, have that moment. I do it often, have the pity party. But after, take that energy, it's a lot of energy that's emotion. And we actually have a great, we'll link it below, a great old blog post on this called Envy that gives you journal prompts when you're in that situation of how to actually use that energy to make it your expander. Examples of that could be, actually, I have a really good one of this, and I don't get triggered in this way anymore by it because I've had so many, I don't know what to call them, but envy expanders that have always shown me my version of what I want's going to come in so much better than what I thought it was going to be throughout the years that my trust muscle is so strong. When I see an envy expander, another one turn up in my life, I'm like, oh, thank you, universe. I know it's close, but my version of it is close. And so when I first started trying to get pregnant, I'm such a nut that I'm always trying to plan the astrology. And I've always known I want a girl. And so our astrology signs would be Virgo, Aquarius, Gemini, and Aries are the different ones we've wanted. And so it's so funny, you know, my best friend got pregnant with her Aquarius girl last year. And so I see, I mean, this is happening to me left and right too. There's so many popping up, and whether we end up having a child or adopting a child or, you know, whatever route we end up going, this used to happen to me all the time with acting. It was like, the person would get the part that I'd been wanting, you know, and basically what the universe was showing me at the time was like, cool it. You are going to get all of the elements you want out of acting, but it's going to be so much better. And it truly turned out to be this brand. I mean, it's far better than anything I could have ever dreamt about being an actress. And now looking at that path, nothing about that, many things, but the longevity of that path wouldn't have made me happy, nor would it have given me the satisfaction that having my own thing, helping so many people, has made, you know, an impact in my life. So 100%. Really taking those envy expanders and actually using them correctly.
100%. Yeah. And I had a kind of a similar one like earlier in 2019. Well, I guess it's 2020 now, but last year in 2019, where I was looking at this really young writer who sold a script and became a showrunner with a production company that I had really wanted to work with. And I was like, how did she had no, you know, old cred, no producing credits, none of this. She just kind of went up the ranks, and she told like a personal story that was helping people and like the mental health sphere and all of these things. It was checking so many boxes of what I want to do. And at the time I thought I wanted to be a showrunner and like run my own show and launch my own series. And watching her, I was very envious of what she was doing. But it was interesting because she shared so much of the journey of her show running on social media that I was able to see more in depth. And I've worked on tons of sets in the past, so I know sort of the time commitment it requires to do that. And in watching her do that, I realized like, oh, that's actually not something I want to do right now. Like that's mm-hmm. such an overhaul of exhaustive energy running around on set. Like that's actually not what I want to do. I want to be utilizing those skill sets, but not in that way. And I was so happy that I could kind of see that insight through her, and then realizing like, oh, my perfect situation is, you know, the job with To Be Magnetic, which is like blending all of those things that I would be doing as a showrunner, but for a company that's like really helping in the self-help sphere and really bettering like humanity. Like that actually aligns so much more. But I needed to see her doing that on television to know, okay, I need to stop pushing this because this is not really what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Absolutely. You just nailed it on the head. And I mean, the same thing goes for my friends, you know, who are mothers, who I do believe being a mother is truly the hardest job in the world. And the one where you wear the most hats and you get paid the least, except in love, you know, you get paid in a lot of things, a lot of emotions, the full spectrum and exhaustion, and love and the beautiful stuff. But, you know, my friends who have gone on to have the kids. And, you know, I just even had this moment over New Year's. I was like, fuck, we're so lucky right now. We have this moment, you know, just it's constant. Like the gratitude I have of not having a lot of that exhaustion and stress. And yeah, I have one friend who hasn't slept for a year with her baby. And You know, so it is that beauty and that moment that you're talking about with those reality expanders or envy expanders. Envy is not a great word because it sounds negative when they're actually such a beautiful gift.
Yeah.
Where you have that moment where you're like, this isn't what I want right now. It's amazing. So using that energy of envy and that moment of reality. And again, we have that link below for the envy blog of how to use that energy and use it to your advantage as an expander.
So then go into a little bit like expanders that trigger us and how we should sort of like navigate that. And is that really an expander? And what does that mean when they're sort of making us really uncomfortable and triggering us?
Yeah. So, you know, I remember this question well, and we get versions of this question often where somebody will write in and to we do supported, which is our bi-monthly class, now monthly class inside of the pathway. And we receive everybody's manifestation questions and I answer them, Jessica and I answer them together. And basically a version of a question that we'll get is, my expander is all of the things, you know, the full package expander, not fragment, but the full package, but they annoy the shit out of me. I can't stand them. Or they're a bad person. They're actually not doing good in the world, or X, Y, and Z. And that is still a massive expander in your life. Take the things you need from it because it really is expanding you. But where you're doing your subconscious a disservice is where you're judging them. And that's where I invite everybody who is having that trigger or that judgment to do your shadow work on it. Because not, and again, I mean, I'm an Aquarius. Like morale for me is all philosophy and I can get out there of what's like morally sound or not. And I think everybody has their own moral code or if they've been, you know, whatever you've been exposed to is your morality. And then I think our soul has a version of morality, but true consciousness, right? Like absolute, the complete picture is non-judgment to all and detachment from all, right? Not to say that that has to be everybody's pursuit, spiritual pursuit in this lifetime, but it sure does you good in manifestation because the more that you can unblock your shadow, again, I love that quote that was, you know, it's been coined many times before I've ever said it, but what we don't own owns us. So wherever we picked up the judgments we're having on our expander, it's actually blocking us in the long run. And it's our service to ourself to get down there and unblock it. So shine the light on it, pull the plug of control that we have in something else that's owning us and put that, give it back to ourselves. That's where we get the power. So to make that even clearer, let's say that your boss is your ultimate expander, but maybe they treat employees poorly. And that's just their stuff they've picked up along the way. You know, I really do think inherently everybody is a good person. We're just layered with a lot of programming and trauma and stuff. So let's say that's the case. It's your service. I would say it's your due diligence to yourself to go do the daily reprogramming, deep imagining that we have, which is our hypnosis that you can do. It takes 20 minutes for the day. You know, you don't have to do the whole unblock shadow workshop, but I do invite you to if it's a really big trigger. But to go in there and do it and get to the root of what it is about them behaving that way that triggers you. Yes, again, it might be right or wrong, but that's not important for you. Your job is to unblock it so that you don't have a judgment. Therefore, you now have control over the energy of the situation and you can use them to your advantage where they get to be this massive expander for you. Certainly, you're not going to walk through the world the way they are. You're going to learn from what you're deeming their mistakes are and you'll be a better boss one day because of the behavior you witnessed. But now they've just opened up your subconscious so wide to have space for what you want to come through. And that's what expansion is, where you were a clamshell before and you didn't believe that something was possible for you, or maybe you've experienced bad reinforcement that you couldn't have it, so you're not worthy of it. What this person has just done for you, if you can get rid of the judgment, because the judgment will keep the clamshell closed. It'll make you go, well, I don't want to be like them because they're bad. If you take that out, you now open up the clamshell. The clamshell is where your manifestation can land. So do yourself the due diligence to get rid of the triggers. Work on your shadow. If this is your expander, work on your shadow to get rid of that trigger so you can open up the clamshell.
Totally. And I've even had like people who have triggered me going through the work through that and then come out on the side to realize they're actually like a fragment expander in some ways. Like I'll give an example. So like there's this archetype of like the sexy flirty girls, like girls that like to be very flirtatious with everyone and are very close talkers. And that always bothered me for some reason. And I just felt very intimidated and uncomfortable them being kind of like around. And then after going in and doing the work and realizing, well, why am I so uncomfortable like about this? Why do I have this judgment against this archetype? I realized that when I was very young, like in high school, girls had made fun of me saying like, oh, you think you're pretty. And they were mad at me because they thought I thought I was pretty. So I was like constantly.
Man, these Jersey girls were tough.
Oh, they were tough. They were tough.
And explained 101 or manifestation 101. We're still reckoning with those girls.
Oh, yeah. There was all different types. We had a huge high school.
I mean, same. I don't think one person got out of school alive without getting so much shame.
Definitely not. But yeah, like saying like, oh, you think you're pretty, whatever that was. And so in what I took from that was, what I taught myself was, oh, you can't be too open with your sexuality and confidence because other people won't like you.
And so, just so everybody is aware, we're talking to a Capricorn Scorpio Cancer, right? Where that's like an innate part of your being.
Yeah.
And creativity.
Yes, yes. So I had to work through that and say, okay, no, that's not true. You know, you can be confident in your body and yourself and all of these things without feeling like people aren't going to like you for that. And it wasn't until working through that then I could look at this archetype of people who were, you know, confident and empowered in their sexuality and say, oh, wow, that's cool. I'm inspired to like tap more into that part of myself and remove that judgment. And then they became like this fragment expander instead. But that, you know, it takes doing the work.
It really takes doing the work. And honestly, at the end of the day, any trigger we're having in life is just a version of what you just outlined, no matter what it is, whether we witness somebody shaming somebody else or we were shamed ourselves. And that's why it's really our due diligence, because when we unlock all of that, getting back to the expander umbrella, we get closer and closer to our truly limitless, authentic, worthy self. And that's pure magnetism. So thank you for outlining such a great example on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So what would be like a mini expander? Like, let's say someone's pursuing a career that doesn't exist. What would be like a mini expander to look like for them? This is a question we get a lot. It's like, I'm an entrepreneur starting a business that no one's ever done before. Like, I have no one to look to.
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, I'm a great example of this, you know, so going back, I had a lot of fragment mini expanders who expanded my subconscious enough to jump off of cliffs to pursue whatever pings I was receiving. So to make that clear, I was, you know, the very first job I had in LA, I was working for a VFX house under an incredible executive producer, an artist, a world I had never been in, nor did I ever intend. You know, I was an actress, so I just wanted to be around media in some way. From there, I ended up, you know, becoming a commercial actress and acting in other things. I became a waitress. I worked at a preschool. And throughout all of it, the through line I always had was an interest in holistic living and spirituality. So when I left the preschool, that was like the lowest I had ever been. I had no, and in fact, when I was at the preschool, I was, you know, filming things and teaching myself to be a filmmaker at the time. And so that's all I was deep diving. I thought I was going to be a filmmaker now. No, like kind of the Duplass brothers in you. No longer was I going to be an actress. I was going to take my power back by making films and started that process. And then when I left, I had a moment where I was like, wait a second. Every time I was preparing sides for a pilot audition, I would be at like a raw food restaurant, far more interested in what the food was doing for my body than being an actress. why don't I start asking the universe to show me? And so when I had to jump off the cliff and I didn't have a job or anything to save me, and I just asked the universe for clarity, which is a step we have in our How to Manifest workshop in the pathway, I kept hearing from multiple different people. They would say, have you seen this blog, My New Roots? Have you seen this blog, My New Roots? And I took a look at it and I went, oh, that's where I can put all of my interests into one thing. You're telling me to start a blog, not the same thing as her or copying her, a food blog, a holistic living blog. And at the time, there really wasn't anything that was modern. It was all crunchy or super fitnessy. So when I launched it, I had to just keep following pings, and I had no idea where this was going to lead me. And I think many people in different industries are feel the exact same thing when they don't have clarity. But I kept going, do I become a yoga certificate person? Do I certified? So I have some sort of title. Do I go to acupuncture school? I looked into that. Do I become a holistic nutritionist like everybody else, you know? And it kept coming back. No, 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 those don't light me up. I don't want to be stuck in an office all day practicing acupuncture. And then I went, oh, herbalism. And herbalism then expanded me because I took on clients and I really started to learn how you could work with people. You can lead them to the water, but they have to drink and do the protocol. Oh, yeah. So it actually took a lot of control out of the mix. So when I finally kept hearing from the universe, you have a gift with manifestation, you do it in a way nobody else does it, you need to do this. And I was so afraid. But once I let it out, I had this moment, like once I launched it and it took off like wildfire, and I never cared if somebody fucking followed what I told them to do in a session. I didn't do those kind of sessions where it's like packaged because I didn't give a shit. I said, come back to me after you've done the work. If you're doing the work, give me a call. Like it resolved all needing to control people's experiences in a way. But I had this moment where I sat down and I went, holy shit, I've totally created my own thing. And at that time, I didn't know many people who had like a successful spiritual practice. So it really was so unique and my own thing. And now, of course, I'm surrounded by many healers and people who have those practices. But what I created, I hadn't really seen before. And now when I look back, it's like, oh, well, of course, throughout the years, Oprah was an expander. Truly, at the end of the day, all that Oprah is a mediator and a tastemaker. And she's a multimedia company tastemaker, like moderator. She moderates interviews or she introduces people to new ways of thinking or books and stuff like that. She's not actually a creator. She is. I mean, she creates shows and things like that. But at the end of the day, those are her titles. So it's really interesting that I, you know, went on to have a blog and blah, blah, blah. So at the end of the day, when you don't know what your thing is or whatever, what you can really lean on and trust are all of the places you're picking up expansion and tools along the way. So if I look back now, every single job I did completely gave me the tools to have this company. I mean, there's still a lot of blind spots because, you know, like we are really doing something that's different, but trust in the experiences you're in, trust in the expansion you're learning in them, and picking up, I guess we can call those mini expansions, even though they aren't showing you the full clear picture, because you're probably going to be doing something that other people haven't done before, or that you certainly haven't seen exist out in the world before. And trusting that is really important.
There was like a term that we use in television where whenever anyone pitched a show, you use two other shows to explain what the new show is going to be. Mm-hmm, so it'd be like Survivor, it's like, meets, yeah, like The Bachelor, you know, like it's
totally
like pitching all these two shows in combination. And you kind of have to think of your expander that you're looking for like that. Take two people who are doing things similar to you, but it's not exactly your route or your path, but they have themes or ideas that are similar, and pull those kind of micro things from them.
Completely. It's like Oprah meets fucking Marianne Williamson.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I know. And isn't that funny? Because I think a lot of people who create things in the world, like true artists, especially in those industries, nothing makes them more angry when they're pigeonholed into a comparison. But I think for expansion purposes, it's absolutely vital.
100%. And then talk a little bit about how people can, or basically the energetic difference of sort of looking to your expander for that inspiration, that reflection of your mirror neurons, versus copying your expander?
Oh, that's a really good one. I mean, we definitely touched on that the last episode in Manifestation 101 Explained. But I mean, if you need to copy some people and do that, if you have to exhaust that out of your body, rock on. But it's really not going to lead you far. It might get you a tiny bit of recognition, but it certainly won't be what it can be, the full shebang. So I think a lot of people will get confused where we have, you know, we'll be releasing in the next month and a half, I think, this new thing called the Index, and it's going to be all of our most asked questions that live in one space inside of the Pathway 2.0, where you can go and just go down the rabbit hole of like just getting all the answers you need on things. And a question that we would get often was, or versions of it would be, I'm looking at my expander and following what they're doing so much. I've listened to the interviews and I follow their social media, but that now I'm starting to realize that I'm like replicating them and that doesn't feel right or good. And that's certainly not what expanders are about. What you're actually doing, and we said this in the last one, is you're supposed to be extracting the essence of what it is that that lights you up and expands you and shows you what's possible. So again, if I go to Mimi Thor, who would be an expander right now, it doesn't mean that I want to become a food blogger, or I think she's gone on to do many more things now, and cook for my kids all day and, you know, have five children. It just means that I'm really craving that homesteady, sprawling space, ritual, and a family, a cozy family. So it's extracting the essence. You know, it doesn't mean I'm going to run out and buy a chateau in France and live the whole Mimi Thor life. It's what is the essence about her that lights my soul up so much right now and communicates to my soul that I'm needing to now infuse in my life and literally manifest and create. So for me, that might be a farmhouse in Scotland, you know, and I have fires and, you know, I was a private chef, holistic chef for a while that I kind of hate to cook now. So it has nothing, you know, it's like, it's definitely not replicating your expander. That's not what's going to help you expand quicker whatsoever. It's extracting the essence. And when you extract the essence, if you're actually following the how to manifest process, you don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting. Just seeing to believe is what's expanding you. Where you have to actually take action steps comes into unblocking and passing tests. Those are the masculine part of this, or the action steps. But the really feminine part are the magic dark and expanders. You just kind of have to receive and allow. And if you're having triggers come up of, oh, they can have it, but I can't because of X, Y, and Z, it's your due diligence to take an action step to unblock why you have that limiting belief. But with expanders, it's really just about taking them in. It's certainly not about replicating. That's not going to make you expand quicker, or it's not going to be, like we talked about before, bring success quicker. We've all been there. I've been there. It's really about taking them in, their essence in, and what about that is your soul craving to materialize in the world for yourself?
Yeah. Like an expander I have right now is Margot Robbie.
And I mean, like, who doesn't?
Right. I think everyone has her.
I mean, even like watching how, like, the spectrum of her career, even I watched on a plane not long ago, Queen Mary of Scots. And I'm like, what a fascinating woman.
But for me, it's like, okay, no, I don't want to be an actress in all of these movies and doing that right now. But what I can pull from her and what I love about her is her essence and her bubbliness and her tenacity to really go after some of these very different projects and execute on a very high level. So it's not about like, oh, I want to copy and or dress like her or behave like her or have her beautiful Australian accent. It's how do I, you know, infuse that own sort of tenacity in my work? How do I have that light bubbliness when I'm speaking to people or doing interviews or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly, that's perfect. And honestly, do you feel like you have to do anything?
No, I just watch all of her press interviews.
Totally. And that's exactly, you're just taking her in. You're taking in that essence of her in. And that's a really important highlight with the Expander 101.
Yeah. So let's pull some questions or common themes that people write in for supported. So one of them is saying, I am working on manifesting eliminating debt. I've done a lot of work on blocking, getting into high self-worth, understanding my parents' relationships to money, but I'm struggling to find expanders who've been able to manifest a large amount of money. Could you share a few examples? So who are these financial expanders that you might have, or I can share some that I look to as well?
Honestly, I love, and you even put great examples out that I think the first thing to start is educating yourself on money. You know, it's so important to educate yourself in finances. That's like the first start, because your brain isn't going to, your subconscious essentially isn't going to believe that you're just going to get yourself out of debt and manifest this big sum of money if it hasn't seen how to do that. You know, it needs to, there needs to be some logic, unless you're really, again, I don't put that past people. If you're somebody who's really mystical and magical, and, but don't use that as an excuse, you'll be sitting in debt for a long time. So we'll lean more towards the side of practicality and logic, because a lot of people in our day and age need that. So first, educate yourself on money. A great book that I love is I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi, if I'm saying that correctly. I certainly talk about all the time, David Bach, Smart Women Finish Rich, or Smart Couples, or Smart Men Finish Rich. There's one for everybody, kind of the same formula. Educate yourself on money. Listen to some money podcasts. Understand and show your brain that there is a step-by-step process first of how that's possible. And then go out. And again, it's just like we've talked about, ask friends of friends, you know, go and seek expanders from media, TV, you know, you can kind of find them anywhere, social media, on the street, go to some finance seminars, and you'll certainly meet a room full of expanders who have done that. It really comes down to first showing your brain how, when it's something like that, that takes more strategy and it's super abstract to somebody, and it certainly wasn't taught in your family at a young age, and then go out and find the people who have done it, who, again, fit that checklist. It's just those four things. They've been where you are now. They've gone on to become successful and own or embody what you want. Their success track feels believable and obtainable to you, and they give you an aha moment. If they can have it, you can too.
Definitely. And then I also put Selena Gray as like a great resource on financial, understanding your financial blocks and sort of what that means. And then also Tom Bilyeu, Gary Vaynerchuk, and Tony Robbins, each, if you go back, I'm sure some podcast somewhere, like they all talk about it, their story. There was a period of time in which all of them were struggling for money. And the biggest action step that you can take from their story is they tried a bunch of different things and worked their butt off. And there was no sort of like ego and like, well, I can only do this or that. Like, it's really just, you know, putting in the work for them to shift that next step. So hearing their step-by-step stories of the action steps they took, and maybe even the compromises they had when they were at those different phases, was really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many examples. And if you don't like what they're saying, turn to the next channel, find the one where you find three stories of the channel you dig. Again, like, their road doesn't have to be yours. And every road is different. So keep changing the channel until you find the one that really resonates, and then find a few more like that.
And then there's a ton of people who write in often about expanders for their dream partner, or who have moved on from an ex to find love and kind of what that looks like. So do you have any dream couple expanders or people you look to? I know you mentioned some earlier in the episode.
Well, I'm a tricky one. I'll let you voice off yours and I'll kind of talk about a few of mine.
Yeah. So I had Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell, which I talked about earlier, Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union. I just love their charisma, boss, power couple, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith. And then this is an Instagram couple, Matt Cutchell and Arielle Vandenberg. They're just so goofy together, and so just like funny, and their relationship feels very light and exciting and childlike. And that's really expansive for me.
Yeah. For me, I'm always looking at different versions. I'm finding different fragments all the time, because I feel like relationships are such a moving part. Certainly if you're looking for one, you'll want to look at, like you gave, full pictures, you know, like where you can see as much as you can see. And actually, what I really love about the ones that you've picked is they're all super real about their shortcomings. Like amazing series, that Red series or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. that Jada and Will put out, that was so real and raw. And they just tell you, like, it's like so expansive of how a relationship takes work. It's always moving. It's real. And you can have that together. Gabrielle Union always talks about her fertility struggles. It's incredible. They're really open. Dax and Kristen talk about how they've been in therapy since the day they met, basically. Yeah. Like, they're very real about what relationships look like. And I'm far more interested in that than the Disneyland, you know, like Disney picture, happily ever after. I think that's something that behooves us to actually unblock a lot of that programming we picked up in life, so that we're a lot more equipped for a relationship when it comes. But I'm currently like always looking for more of expanders of women who are in their feminine, in the relationship, a lot more in their feminine. And all of these women, are, except for Kristen, maybe is a little more in her feminine. They're all like pretty, what do you call it? Like they're ballsy, like yeah. all of these women, which I like that you picked them. So yeah. I'm kind of looking for women like that always. But certainly, again, I just want to really highlight that when you're looking for expanders for a partner and you moved on from your ex, I love that we chose, again, celebrity. And I this isn't like People magazine over here. You won't ever catch me like looking into tabloids or weird shit like that. Any news I find is like a weird, funky thing that might come up on that Instagram part of the feed that's like, when you're searching for something and it has just all this random stuff it's feeding you. Like I just saw, I think 2 days ago, that Michelle Williams is pregnant with this new guy that she's engaged to. And I'm like, wasn't she just married last year? Like, wow. I mean, talk about an expander. She just really pops around, rock on, you know, owning it. But I think what like the point is here that's really good to know is one question we would get a lot is like, but I live in a small town. I can't find expanders here. These are all celebrities. I'm not a People magazine crazed person, but I certainly will reference media a lot for expansion. So that's just one really big highlight. When you're looking for expanders anywhere, may it be relationships, moving a house, buying, blah, 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 blah. If you can't find it directly within you, go look into media and work your way back. They're all around. Relationships to me are like the easy expanders to find because yeah. most people engage in relationships, whereas not everybody's buying a house and certainly not everybody's an entrepreneur and running their company, but I would say 90% of the population is engaging in some form of a relationship that you can find fragment expansion from.
Totally. And then another question that we get a lot about expanders is like people who are kind of doing this like entrepreneurial, like personal business thing. So like whether that's creating art or selling their own photography or launching a graphic design business, singer, musician, what are some of those like independent entity people that maybe you've seen that you kind of look to?
It's so funny. I started getting communication right away where it's like, you need to tell them this. So I'll explain what I need to tell you first. So no matter what, if you're an artist or anything, you're kind of on the fringe, we'll say, you know, it's you've been fed the story based on societal programming most of your life that there's one way towards success in life. It's to go to school, do well in school, go to a really good college, do well there, get your jobs, work your ass off, have a retirement, have a family and die. That's like the big, it's all academia, work hard for somebody else, build a really good financial life for yourself, have a family and die. That's kind of the story that's mainstream, right? We've been fed that. In culture, we've been fed that in media. It's kind of everywhere. So I'll say more on the fringe. You know, you fall in the lines of an artist. The two most important things you need to know to be successful as an artist, number one being the more authentic you can be, the more success you'll have. But authenticity, it's a double-edged sword. It can't just be wackadoodle authentic. Well, it can be. Certainly it can be. But you need to be expanded and unblocked enough to own it. That's what people can't take their eyes off of. So when you look at somebody like, I love that actress, what's her name? Hoffman. I'm forgetting it right now. The one Felicity? From Trent. Yeah. No, Transparent. She's the daughter in Transparent.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can't
remember right now. But yes, anyways, someone like her, Angelina Jolie, they are so unbelievably authentic. You watch them in an interview and they don't change at all. And they're super honest and transparent with you. It's owning your authenticity in a worthy way. That's number one, what's going to get you noticed. Number two is what you don't, where you're hiding is where you're not selling or where you're not going to be successful. So you need to look at where you don't want to be seen still, where you're afraid of being seen or showing yourself fully. Those are the two key tickets that make people on the fringe very successful financially, selling their work, you know, making their stuff available and living off of it well. And then, of course, the most important thing is finding expanders of people who have done the same. So like my ex, I dated for 5.5 years, who's such a talented artist, but he grew up with bohemian parents who were artists who never made it and had to have real jobs, and a dad who kind of like ranched and freelanced and came from money. And there he's never done any unblocking, and he's never ever worked under another artist to expand him. So therefore his career doesn't really, it stays linear, doesn't really move on the upward. So a really important thing for him would have to be, for instance, as an example, is unblocking all of the stuff he witnessed in childhood. The information, the patterning he imprinted was, you can be a really good artist, but you're not going to ever really make a lot of money, and you're going to have to live off of working a real job. And then number two, he's actually never seen to believe how it works. Again, it's just like finance. You need to see the inner workings of the clock to understand how the clock works. I mean, you don't in theory, because we've been programmed in life to just know a clock works, and that's what we follow, and that's how it is. But for the person who's an artist who's been fed a totally different story their whole life, that getting back to that societal modeling of you, again, go to school, whatever, have the family work for somebody, die. They need to see inside of the clock to understand how it ticks and works. And that's where, if you have never understudied under an artist, a professional artist that shows at all of the galleries you want or has a gallery representation that you want, that lives the way you want, if you've never worked under them, if you haven't been around them, if you haven't apprenticed them, if you haven't studied every biography on them, your brain, just like finance, has no concept for how it's going to get out of debt. It doesn't, it's just such an abstract whole that it doesn't understand how it's going to get there. So it's so, so important to accomplish those three things if you're on the fringes, like I am. I'm a fringer, and you want a successful life and lifestyle and a success in your career. You have to do all of the unblocking it takes to own your absolute authenticity. You have to do all of the shadow work of where you still don't want to be seen. That's why people aren't gravitating towards your work yet, because you're still wanting to hide in one way or another. So that's where you would do our unblocked workshop. And then you'd certainly engage with the unblocked shadow daily reprogramming exercise as often as possible whenever you recognize there's somewhere you're still hiding. You've got to get rid of that. And then certainly finding expanders. You have to see how the clock mechanism works. You have to understand the steps of how to get somewhere. And it's certainly not a linear track, but there are a lot of patterning commonalities between why these people become successful. So you need to see the business behind it.
Definitely. Yeah. And just some expander examples off the top of my head, like there's this guy, Jordan Taylor Wright, who does Taylor Cut Films. He's like a multimedia photography and videographer. Like he's expanded, and you can kind of check out his work and see like his stuff's amazing. Or like a writer and artist like Morgan Harper Nichols, or even there's this awesome woman, Amanda Oleander, who does like sketches and prints. Like all of these people kind of started doing their authentic designs and art, and they have a very specific style and kind of pushed that, and it got them tons of attention. Or even photographers like Sir Neve or Ryan Muirhead, like all of these sort of fringe artists, really, you can see on all of them, they sort of stuck to their style and enhanced that style. And that's why they're really successful.
So I would argue like that style, if we're going to take the energetic beneath it, it's their authenticity, and they're certainly owning it because they're doubling down on it.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, the expansion. And those are some beautiful people you just listed off that artists can go, and whatever type of artist you are, you can go and engage with and look at what does it look like when somebody is totally in their worth and owning their authenticity and seeing them as an expander through that.
100%. I think that pretty much covers it for expanders today. I hope this is really expansive for everyone.
And that was like our big New Year message that we really, really want to convey is a lot of people at this time of year are doing resolution. They're resolving to stop smoking or blah, 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 or they're going to lose whatever way. They're just, you know, it's a thing. But to actually obtain the things we do want in life, to receive them, we have to have space for them. So it's less about resolving. It's a lot more about expanding. So that's why we thought that this theme this month would be so vastly useful to everybody. And that's also why we created the Expander Mini Workshop. It's our first ever. It's completely free. There's a link below where you can go and start to learn about expanders and use this energy and this time to start creating that space, to make space for what you do want in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then any expanders that we listed in this episode, we're going to link in our show notes that's on the website. So be sure to check that out if any of them percolated any interest for you.
Excellent. Well, awesome. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
Take care.
Bye.
I told you if you've been following the brand for a bit, you would definitely pick up some golden nuggets because some of it I channeled through that I hadn't mentioned before. So I think this was very valuable. If you are interested in the pathway, again, it's our limited access little member portal that has all of our workshops included in it. If you're somebody who's listening to this work for the first time and you're like, where do I even start? There's actually a free clarity exercise that you can engage with. We'll have it linked below where you can see what you even want to manifest, what you want in the future, what your soul desires. It has some journaling prompts and it just gives you a little taste of what this work is like. And you can use the code EXPANDED, capital EXPANDED, for $20 off your first month of the Pathway 2.0. Or if you're just wanting to get a taste of the other work, the a la carte workshops, you'll get $20 off your first course. Leave a podcast review below for a chance to win a lifetime membership, or you can go ahead and join our newsletter linked below for the exact same thing to enter in. If you enjoyed this episode and you've thought it was truly expansive, please share it with anybody in your life who could use it right now. And we'll talk to you next week.